Good morning, everyone. You know, listening to the prayer sermons all summer as we've been teaching, some of the things that and the ways that we were instructed to apply some prayer techniques. And one of the things that kept coming to mind was, what is it that God says that we should do when it comes to a prayer, and why does he say it? And, is that something that we adhere to? Is that something that we follow? You know, and I've heard, quite a few times, that we have a lot of small groups, and that, we pray together in our small groups, and we pray, with each other. And, one of the things that I'm very familiar with, and one of the things that helped me develop as an individual, was being able to pray, get together on Wednesday nights or some other nights. And, it was something that was new for me, but one of the things that it did was it calmed me down. It helped me to just relax. The other thing was that we also prayed with the scriptures. Always read the scriptures and insert the truth of the scriptures into the prayer and other things like that. And so I remember the experience, and I remember how it helped me through difficult times, and how it encouraged me, to stay faithful. It encouraged me to change some of my behaviors. It encouraged me to look at people in different ways. And so as I was looking back, I was thinking to myself, effective prayer to me comes from a heart that is at least open and genuine. I was reading a message, and I've read this before, but I really love hearing the way he describes prayer here. He says, the world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father, your family, and he knows better than you what you need. And with a God like that loving you, you can pray very simply like this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are, set the world right, do what's best, as above so below. Keep us alive for grace for ours. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge, you can do anything you want. You're a blazing beauty, yes, yes, yes. He says, in prayer, there is a connection between what God does. In prayer, there is a connection between what God does and what you do. You can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without also forgiving others. And if you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's path. So I started thinking, when the Bible says, teaches us to pray, when things are good, when things are bad, when it happens, when we're sad, when someone is sick, when someone is well, when we are in need, we are encouraged to pray in all circumstances and to never ever stop praying, to fast and to pray. We're encouraged to pray for our enemies, for our friends, for public officials, for brothers and sisters in Christ, for neighbors. Prayer is to precede and to finish all things that are done. before you do anything, before you get involved in any type of action, one of the things that God says to me is talk to my wife. So, you know, I ask the question, and I say, what is prayer? You know, prayer is about engaging God. You know, we came here not of our own. We were brought into this existence. And in Genesis, early on, the Bible says that God created us to engage Him, to fellowship with Him. And prayer to me, and from what I've seen in the Bible, is relying on God at every time. But there's something about us as human beings, including I include myself. I say, you know, I've been through this for 30, 40 years, you know. I know what it's going to look like, and I don't want to pray sometimes. I don't want to engage him. I don't want to. But God says that's something that we must do. Just like reading His Word is significant to truly grow and mature and learning how to apply certain things. See, I was asking myself the question, why is it hard to pray sometimes? Or why is it hard to pray? Why don't I want to gather and pray? Why don't I want to ask God for direction or listen to someone else as they struggle through whatever they struggle through? I also asked the question because I saw several great successes. And one was when a group of the apostles were in the room and they were praying. They were praying on the worship to the next one. There was an earthquake and it shook. And when it shook, they were out of the room and moving around. And instead of these guys running off and chilling out, they went right back to the same place they got in trouble and stood up there and started preaching again. You know, it was really interesting. It's interesting what prayer can empower us to do together as a family. And one of my hopes and, you know, continued dreams is that we as a community could, you know, from time to time, month by month or whatever, whenever we decide as a group, but as a whole church, come together and worship together and calm our spirits and realign ourselves with what God's mind is. As we do on Sunday morning, we're doing that with worship and sit together and hear from God's word. But the reason I'm saying this is because I believe that if a group, a huge group, concentrated group of people from many different places come together and put their issues, you know, before God together, that helps us as a group to one, understand each other, to be more sympathetic with each other, and then to communicate each other's issues to God. Because to me, prayer is just talking to God. It is just talking to God. And, you know, when you think about David, and you think about all of the prayers that have gone up and that have examples in the Bible, people were just being honest about where they were and what they were struggling with. So I ask the question, why is it hard to pray? Why is it hard to get together and do that? I don't know what you get as an answer. I know what I feel when it comes to praying. As I'm walking down the street, I'm not going to pray, and doing this, I'm not going to pray. But I don't do what I used to do when I first came in, which was a large time of prayer. I kept asking myself the question, why don't you do that anymore?
how to make yourself work on your own, spend that hour, spend that time doing it. And then I started thinking about Jesus. And he was about to die. And as he took three apostles on the apostles with him, and he said, "Don't you guys wait here and pray with him?" Someone who had been raised back to him brought a friend with him, and he said, "Come and pray with him." And as he asked him to pray, bathed himself. But he had something inside of him that wouldn't let him sleep, and it was that feeling of the waiting death that was coming, the thing that was coming to mess with him. And just like I said, when I was a fresh donkey, you know, and I just come out, I used to wake up in the middle of the night and I'd have these bad dreams about, you know, losing drugs or doing this or something. And then I source the pain. And that urgency to pray. He didn't have to ask me to get up in the morning and to do this. But something happens to us where we become comfortable and relaxed in this journey. And we fall asleep and we stop doing the basic things that we have to do in order to realign our minds, realign our path, and then things start slipping in that make us weak, that dilute what it is God wants us to do. Why don't I learn to pray? Because it's an act. It's a part of the enemy's job. It's a natural aspect of my person to move away from God, even as a child of God. It's a natural aspect of my human person is to get away from the discipline that will keep me close to God. Even the most disciplined of us do this. So the thing that we have to do for each other is we have to encourage each other. Go back, read what he said, read what it says, as we pray through, as we worship, as we confess, as we deal with things that we struggle with. What does this actually do for me? I know what I like to do. I know what I feel most comfortable in. But I also know that in that repetition of doing what I do, I can stay right there forever. I mean, literally, if I really enjoy it, I can stay there. And I can do it. And I can do it, and I can do it, and I can be bored doing it, like I was with spirits or something. And I also met with my voice from the spirit. And even though it was hurting me, and I really didn't want to do it anymore, I kept doing it. Now, why is it that I can do the things that destroy me and separate me from God's bad and more easy? So these things are the reasons that we have to encourage each other and remind each other and practice praying together, praying for each other. You know, I was thinking, Jesus made a prayer. His prayer was basically that, "Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
pray that you will not take them out of the world, so that you keep them here and that you give them what they need in order to be effective to glorify you. I pray this for your glory. And I was asking a question, and I was talking to the teacher, and I was saying, you know, what I see in all of this, you know, beginning with Matthew 5, is that God was saying that I'm really interested in what's inside of you. I'm really interested in what really makes you tick, what really throws you off, what really makes you judge and helps you to not love, helps you to close up. I'm really interested in what makes you love, what keeps you loving people around you. I'm really interested in what's going on inside of you, and I want you to talk to me about that, and I want you to talk to others about that story. And I want you to use my word as you examine those things that are happening inside of you, because he is really interested in what is going on inside. It's not what people see on the outside. It's not the things we do. It's not the positions we hold. It's none of that. Because those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Why is that important? Have you ever seen a zombie? Or someone who is like seriously drugged up? I got a son like that. You know, I love my son. But when my son is gone and into the spot, it's like he's here, but he's just like and he's just stumbling through and by the grace of God, he doesn't appear and he doesn't die. And the reason I'm saying that is because there are a lot of ways that this kid should have been gone. But for some reason, through prayer, through encouragement, God has kept him alive. For my encouragement, I think God is just saying, this is where I'm being born. This is where you are. This is what they were doing. Now, I don't stay on my knees 5 hours a day and pray for them. I just say a word here or there. Because half the time, I hate to say this, but sometimes I feel like I hate him. I hate what he's doing to himself. I hate what he's doing in this situation. And I know he can do better, and he knows that we will help him, or that we'll do things for him. That's beginning to change. But I suppose the reason I brought that up is to say, if we're going to get through, if we're really going to make it, and if we're going to make it and still be attached to him, not disconnected, not leaning on anything else, or alcohol and drugs or sex addictions or anger things or things that keep us feeling good about what we are, even though we're out of place, even though we're out of stuff, even though our life is out of balance. If we're really going to get through and we're really going to stay connected and stay alive, we're going to have to remind each other and encourage each other and push each other to do the things that God says do, so that we can form us. We have to push each other when we don't feel like it's the thing that we should be doing. And when people say, I don't want to hear that anymore, we still need to do what God says do. Pray. It's a teacher. Pray. Father, we thank you for who you are, for how you've grown us and how you've developed us, and how you've kept us in spite of ourselves. And I pray, Lord, to continue to search my heart and my mind. Search our hearts, Lord, and help us to see in our first things wrong. That has nothing to do with you, but keep us this time for you. Help us to not be in those places. Help us to reawaken, to become alive in those areas by exposing and sharing with you and others. Draw us back, Lord, draw us back to a place of sitting before you, hearing your word, praying to you, doing things that really keep us alive. Our priorities the way you want it to be. You know it. You see where we are. And we individually know it where we are. We'll never be perfect at this world. We know that. But we know that your grace is sufficient to help us to continue to grow as it is.
Thank you, Tim. He is forcing us to reexamine certain things in our lives. We might get in group this morning.